Let's get started. I'd like to welcome everyone to the work session of the City Council meeting of January 3rd, 2023. Welcome to the new year.
Thank you.
And the first item is a discussion of council priorities. And how do we want to proceed with this, Ken?
I'll just, sorry, my mouth's full. This item was put on the council agenda at the council's request, which is a great, we're always appreciative to have requests from the council for work session items. I think the timing is good since the staff is preparing, generally this time of year we start to prepare for budget discussions. We start looking at upcoming needs. We're taking the winter to look at capital projects, for instance. And so we're doing a lot of prep for the next round of financial appropriation that the city would discuss, at least as we have our retreat coming up in March or April. And so the timing is good. If you have ideas, projects, things you want to bring to each other's attention and to our attention, and just generally get things on the record and on the radar. So I don't know how you want to proceed, Mayor. I guess I'd envisioned kind of going around the room, so to speak, meaning this is the room here, and just letting everybody give us some feedback on what they're thinking.
I think Lisa wants to go first. I can just tell.
Thank you. I'm excited to go first. And thank you for creating a work session where we could put this on. I really appreciate that. And I think that it's a great way to, for me, to feel like I'm contributing. One thing as I joined the council that I haven't been certain about is how I get my ideas into work that's being done, where to maybe to do that. And so Ken and I had talked about this type of a meeting being one of those places, which I really appreciate the opportunity to talk about it. So thank you for doing this. Okay, so my idea, and or at least what I'll share, and anyone else who has a different format, I welcome that, is just a handful of ideas that matter to me. Some of them I'd like to get feedback from the council if this is something that they also think is valuable, or if they have logistical suggestions of here's how I could see that working. And then I think it puts it on the radar of the staff as they continue to do the great work that they're doing. Potentially they'll know like, oh, it mattered to the council that we looked at bike lanes or something like that. So those things start getting built into projects really early on without it coming to council and then receiving that feedback and having to make course correction instead of just kind of having these ideas around as projects move forward and are created. So these are the priorities for me. One that I continue to feel and have talked about for a long time is the idea of a walking trail or path around every park in the city. Hatch Park is a perfect example of that. Trail gets used all the time. I've used it personally many, many, many times, and I would love to see as we start making improvements or changes or additions to parks that be part of the consideration. Is there a walking trail around every single park? As we retrofit some of our parks, can we go back and add a trail? And I know that we're currently working towards that in Legacy Park, which I'm just thrilled about. Tunnel Springs is another good example of where that trail gets used all the time. And I think that having that walkability matters. So trails as we're, and I think there's potential for grants that could be included to create these kind of trails if those ever come across like Allie's radar or anything like that. So the trails is one. One that's just kind of coming up and moving forward, but we are working with the Health and Wellness Committee and with Utah State University to do a wellness survey in the city, and that's going to be coming up in the next couple of months, and just kind of continuing to make some choices that are really data-driven and really purposely driven in how we look at wellness in the city. Nothing needs to be done with that. That's just more of this is on my radar. Another area that I really appreciate is curb painting throughout the city, particularly in areas in the Midtown and areas in Foxborough where parking on the street can be problematic. I've really seen how curb painting makes such a difference, and the city really responded so well on 900 North in Foxborough this last year, where there was some overparking and parking close to the streets that was making it quite unsafe for kids walking to school, but even for cars trying to pull out of different streets. So as consideration is made, as we're going through different streets renovations and updates, just a revision of where should we be painting curbs for that safety. I think as our city continues to grow, that painting becomes more important because we just fill out all the extra spaces. So some of the areas on the east side that there's not a lot of street parking, it's really probably not important to have any curb painting. But where we have specific areas in the city where we do have higher density housing, I think it is important to designate first for safety, and then second for other benefits, walkability, aesthetic, where we can do curb painting. So that's the next one, curb painting. Something that is on my radar, just to kind of put in the ear of probably the Parks and Arts Committee, is just thinking about ways we can get more art in the city. I know this is something that has been important to the Parks and Arts Committee in the past, and there has been some movement, and I think there's room to continue to do that. Some examples that we've talked about in Parks and Arts before are things like painting electrical boxes around the city and perhaps doing like a grant program where we hire an artist that will paint those. We could also do a program that does something like a competition at the high school where high school art students submit designs and we can just pick them. And so the cost could be actually quite low because we're hiring amateur artists to do that and also building up that kind of ownership within our own city. Bountiful has a couple of these. There's one on 1800 South in between Orchard and Main. And if you want to drive by there, you can just Google painted electrical boxes, but they can just be really charming ways to add art in the city. Again, when we think about areas in our city where we've prioritized higher density housing, these are ways to make it more artful, charming, aesthetically pleasing, in my opinion. Okay, three more. The next one, I work at the university, and I've talked in a couple of different places about the potential to have an intern in the city that could work on a specific project. Ideas that we've kind of talked about previously is social media, a history project for the city, and those were all quite specific. But there is a resource available to us when working with the university to have a program where we have somebody who kind of works for low or no pay that can allow for one-time projects. And then I think that it has a reciprocal piece of value where we're opening our organization to younger professionals who get to see this is what a city looks like. This is what it's like to work within a city. And so it's not just free labor because it is labor that comes with mentorship. That is something that I can do as far as the mentorship. I wouldn't supervise on a day-to-day basis, but all the logistical pieces with the university I could do. But just as staff are thinking about what they're working on, if having an intern for a small period of time or something that we perpetually have an intern, so every semester the university sends a new intern, that is a resource that we could tap into that I would at least like to have on people's minds. It's not something that I feel like needs to happen. If this never happens, I will not feel disappointed. I just feel like this is a resource that could be beneficial. The next one is some type of policy discussion, probably in a work session, as well as just educational, about the city's approach to individuals who are unhoused, what that is, and probably some type of presentation from the police department to let us know what that actually looks like in the city. How often are you interacting with people that are unhoused, that are panhandling? And do we as a city have any preemptive policy decisions about that? Do we allow panhandling? Do we remove people if they are, I don't know. I don't know the answers. I also don't know what I would want them to be, but just an awareness. I think as we have heard in so many places that the housing crisis is pending and looming, we also know in the state as an entirety, the number of people who are unhoused is just growing. Given our proximity to downtown, that is only a matter of time until that is spilling into our city, and I feel like getting ahead of that conversation might be really helpful. And then the very last one, and this is the one that I would actually love some feedback from the council on, is the idea of community councils. This is something that I campaigned on and I really do believe in. But again, if it turns out logistically that it really doesn't make sense, that is, it's something that I might change my mind on. The idea of community councils is a community organization that provides feedback and is a point of contact for the city. I lived for a lot of years in the Avenues, and my husband grew up in the Avenues. His parents are very involved in the Avenues Community Council, and it's a really vibrant community organization. They host and sponsor the Avenues Street Fair. They have their own fundraising. It's just a really extensive program. And one thing that I think it does is it provides a character for the neighborhood. The Avenue Street Fair is the art that they've created for the Street Fair for the past number of years are different artist depictions of areas within the city. So they'll have a watercolor of notable houses in the avenues, and it just really brings the sense of character in place that I think is something that we could expand in North Salt Lake. I don't think that the character of North Salt Lake is the same from east to west. And so trying to solidify around one type of character in the city, I think could be hard. But solidifying a character around several areas within the city could really work. And when you think about a city like Salt Lake that has so many different areas, there is a character in the avenues, and there is a character in downtown, and there's a character in Sugar House that can feel very different, but people can really identify with, I come from this area, and I love that idea. So the community councils, in my idea, would, for my workload, I would start in Foxborough. This would not be a city-run organization, although it might be a city-supported organization for several years to see if it gets going, but eventually it becomes completely community-run. And they would meet, you know, at some interval of time. This could be a place that the police could come and provide information or seek feedback. We have different pending items in the city council. We can seek feedback from this group. That's an idea I really like, but I also see that it creates a lot of work potentially. And so if there are any opinions or any suggestions or feedback about that, I would love to hear that from the council. That's all.
Thank you. As a point of order here, do we want to discuss these now or just? Okay. Yeah. So I had the thing I'm always wondering is how do we integrate ideas that the council has back through the committees? Like, you know, do we go to the Parks and Trails Committee and say, we want walking paths, so implement it, or are they already working along those lines, you know? The other thing I'm been tossing around in my head is how do we, are we recreating the wheel on a lot of things? For example, the county has a wonderful senior group of activities. Should we be incorporating into that more, or should we go our own way? Same with the Health and Wellness Committee. How do we integrate with that? So I don't have answers. I just have these things spinning around in my head. But
I have opinions.
Yeah.
I think as a general approach in every committee, it should be to look at what resources are available before we try to create any resources, always. And we may then knowing, like, for example, the senior resources or parks and wellness resources or whatever the resource is, once we know what those resources are, we may opt to still create our own programs or do something different. But I feel like the first step should always be see what resources are currently available before we create anything new, which probably is a policy move. As far as working with the different committees, the way I see it, and again, I do not have the experience that many of you do working with the city, is to share ideas first with the council, and then like when Ted goes back to Parks and Arts, he can share, like, you know, there are council members who really want to make sure there are trails. As we're talking about trails, let's see what goes into that. And that can be enough. That can be the end of it. If then things aren't going, one thing I've tried and can receive feedback if this is not the route to go, is the council member can then try, contact that committee and say, hey, I'd like to come to the committee. I have an idea and I want to share it with you. Can I come speak to the wellness committee and share my idea? But the committee members there are really signing off on those ideas as they start to move forward. Now, I don't think that's how it's happened in the past, and maybe that's not how it should happen. So opinions regarding that would also be really helpful. But that's kind of how I've seen that in my head. That's how I see that working.
I think any time we have communication going like that, it's a positive thing. You know. And I think the committees may appreciate
I think it's positive, but you got to be careful that the committees don't start feeling like we're dictating to them, because once they feel that, they feel, what's our point being here? And I've had that happen at the Parks and Trails years ago, where some members just dropped off, and I said, well, how come you're dropping off? And they'd go, well, I go to the meetings, and I don't think anybody listens to my ideas, because they already got their own ideas, and we just figured, what's the point? And I had a few good members that were doing a great job, I thought, and they just didn't want to be part of it anymore. Because somebody either dominate with, you know, some of our committees, we had some really dominating people that really wouldn't let them get a word in sideways, you know, or they'd criticize anything they said, you know, and it became hard. So that's just a part of it, I think, as council members, and if we say much, I mean, we can certainly put out ideas and hopefully they pick up on them. But if we start making it look like it's our idea, and they're like, well, go with it because you've got all the power, you know.
I see that point, and I think that's really important. And I think that feeling of non-efficacy in the committee happens whether or not the council members can also happen without council members coming and speaking. I know as a member of those committees, I also felt at times like it doesn't really matter what I say because things don't move forward, and it had nothing to do with council members coming or not.
Right.
So that can come either way.
I'm not saying it does, but I just know over the years I've learned to kind of really walk lightly
and try not to be...
I mean, I know I've come to meetings and I've said things and stuff, but I still kind of think, well, I need to be real careful because I don't want people to think that
a good point.
My idea is the only one that's going to work, and if you come up with an idea because you're not on the council, then it's not going to go anywhere, and I've tried to be really careful.
I appreciate that. I think that's a good point. I will also say when I served on Parks Committee in particular, I wanted more direction from the city or from the council. And so I think that we run the risk of putting people like on the wellness committee right now and being like, hey, do some wellness for the city. And the committee has stumbled a bit. They're making great progress, but it's going very slowly. And I feel like as a member on that committee, I actually wanted more directive and would have liked more directive. And so there is a balance to be made there that we're not dictating, but we're also providing some parameters so that we can say, hey, these are the areas around which you can make some change. And let's as a group decide which of these really matter to us instead of like, I don't know, do what you want. And at times that's how I felt on the Parks and Recs, being like, I don't know, what agenda, what do you want to put on the agenda without knowing really like, well, I don't know, what are my options? I felt at times like I couldn't really... lead that very well without having some parameters. So it's a balance is what I'm trying to say. And I think that the point you make is really good, that we could easily take over the feeling of power and efficacy in those groups if we dictate to them.
Yeah, I think it's just good to just keep the ideas going out there and just, you know, put them out there. I think it's great. I like a lot of the things that you brought up here on there. The community council idea came up several times over the years. And that's when Uniting Neighbors kind of came together, and it took off for a while, but it seems like things go in cycles, you know. People get excited, you get people coming out, and everybody's going it, but pretty soon it kind of takes its own course, and people drop off.
What is United Neighbors?
It was started kind of like community council, to bring somebody from each of the different parts of the city together. And I didn't start it. It was started, you know, it was...
I don't remember.
Our builder. Planning Commission, you know him.
Grammel?
Huh? Yeah. What you said?
Grammel?
Up in Eaglewood that does the building.
Eric Beard?
No. He was the Planning Commission chairman for a while. He was... No. Huh? No. What's his name? I should know it off the top of my head. Sorry, losing my memory. But anyway, he started it, sort of. And it started off being where, you know, a lot of, you know, it had a little bit of everything in it. I thought it, you know, worked well. And they had representatives from the different parts of the city coming together, and it kind of, that's what the whole point was, is like you said, we're not all the same community, but people brought their ideas together, and it made it, you know, feel more like a community. But eventually it dwindled down to where it was really the safety, or it was the emergency preparedness committee again, because that was only people showing up.
Well, and so that's kind of the result if without parameters and guidelines, if the group is just left to create its own thing, sometimes they whittle down to something that maybe wasn't the intention.
It was those that were interested would come out, and those that weren't eventually didn't, and it's okay, but...
Idea with the community council is a little bit different than what you're describing, though. I anticipate there would be three separate community councils, a Foxborough community council, a Midtown community council, and an Eastside community council, so that it is actually, it's just creating their own individual character and identity from that space, and here's what matters to us in the Midtown area, and here's what matters to us on the Eastside. It wouldn't be one group with representatives
from each. The only problem I've had with that was Salt Lake City's community council is that everybody's working on their community and trying to get people elected for their community, and then when it comes to budgeting and doing things, they're not doing it for the entire city, but they want their priorities first. And it's kind of been one of those things where it really doesn't bring the city together, it separates the city.
It's not administrative, though. This is just a community organization.
I know. I've dealt with the Salt Lake Community Councils before, and I know people that have been, you know, the chairman of them, and I've dealt with them before. But part of the things that I like about our city is when we can all look at it as a city. You know, this is a city, and people call me up and say, well, we need this in our community. And it's like, well, you know, there's other parts of the city, and we need to look at all the parts and try to bring people together. And sometimes the community council seems like it's doing just the opposite, that you're separating the city into those regions. You could have four, really, Eaglewood, the upper North Salt Lake area, you could have the middle of the town, and then you could have Foxborough. You could really have Foxborough north and south in a lot of ways.
Stan and Elisa, can I make a suggestion?
Yeah.
I love, truly, severely love, is that a word? Is that a phrase? Doesn't make any sense. I severely love that we're doing this, and I think we think of this as like part one of two or three parts. And so, because I can't see us getting through what we need to do to, like, coordinate on this within this work session. Yeah. So I'm thinking about what's a realistic outcome from today, and maybe it's to just get all the ideas out on the table.
Okay.
Plant seeds.
I'll stop talking then.
Okay. Well, yeah, it's not that. I think what you're talking about needs to be talked about. Everything you're saying is valued. I'm just trying to think about, like, flow.
No. Okay, I agree. Let the mayor take over and decide what we need to do.
Let's thank you, Elisa, for those comments. Yeah. Let's move on. Natalie?
I have just a couple. One, I want to see dedicated bike lanes, which might require parking only on one side of the street. And I love Elisa's idea of red curbs as well, because I do agree that sometimes people park way too close to stop signs. The other thing I would like to see is I would like us to review our water conservation ordinances. And I definitely think part of that review should be a park strip tree requirement. So not asking anyone who's currently here to go back and plant park strip trees, but to encourage it if they're changing something, if they want to get a water wise refund or something like that, park strip trees. And I'd like to figure out a way that we could get UTA functioning better in our city. I don't know how well the Uber UTA is going. I don't know if people are using it. I don't know if people are finding it helpful. But I do think that as we have high density here in the center of the city because we consider it transit oriented. I think we need to figure out a way to get transit out to Redwood Road because we've got high density there as well. And we don't have a way for people who live there and maybe who want to limit the number of cars they have, or who maybe, you know, don't want to buy gas. We don't really have a way for them to get to their jobs or wherever they want to go. So those are my concerns.
Thank you. Any comments there? I definitely feel underserved by UTA. I know.
The only comment I can make, and I hate making comments now, but is that my grandson uses it every day.
I did not mean to throw a wet blanket on the conversation. I was just trying to think through. That's all.
Yeah, the Uber thing, for them, they use it every day. They had a few hiccups at the beginning where Mike was kind of questioning UTA whether they were getting their act together, but as far as I know, it's been working pretty good. At first, they would call for it, and it wouldn't show up, and then I'd have to go pick them up, and as I went to pick them up, I'd ask them what happened, and pretty soon they'd show up. And so it was a little rough getting started, but now I think they use it every day, and that's how they get the tracks trained every day. And
yeah, I think we need to look at that, because anecdotally, I'm hearing the other side as well. I'm trying to get home from the airport. I get dropped off at the Woods Cross station. A car takes me to, you know, Woods Cross, 2600 South and Highway 89. I catch a bus for six blocks. I mean, I just think we
need
to make sure.
I don't think it's anecdotal. I think it's pretty clear that they have a structure that is to feed people to the front runner stations when you get north of downtown Salt Lake City. And that doesn't serve us very well at all.
No.
And so our core bus lines have factually been shrunk in hours of operation and frequency. That's a fact.
Yeah, and so. I think I know that it's happened on Redwood. I think it has also happened on Orchard. So I would really like to see that. And I understand that when you're looking at supply chain, it's the first mile and the last mile. But I just think that we're not super effective when we're treating our residents as the first mile or the last mile. It's just not, I would like to see something better.
Maybe we just need to get more facts on it, see what really is happening, because I don't know. I'm only saying I just had that one experience. Yeah. I was mad at first, too, because it wasn't working, but and I haven't ever used it myself, so maybe I ought to try it sometime.
Yeah. Okay, anything else on that? Stan?
Well, most of the stuff I had on my list are things I've been bringing up for years, so I'll just bring them up again on what I have out here. Of course, I've got the Tunnel Springs project that we've talked about for years now, and that's to make the spring itself accessible to those that want to get water that hasn't been treated. And Rod used to fight me on this all the time, but Salt Lake City has a park where they have water that's accessible, that's spring water is coming out. People can fill up their jugs, and we can make it look really nice. I don't think it'd be real expensive. I've got pictures and things of things around the world that I've got off the internet where you can do a nice, pretty thing that, you know, masonry, and the water's coming out, and they can fill up their jugs and get their spring water. It does have to be tested, so that's not too bad. And I think that was one of Rod's concerns in the past. But like I say, I would find out what Salt Lake's done, because they do have a park that has spring water in it that you can fill up your stuff in. So that was one of my things I've had out there for a while. The History Committee, or the History Committee, that hasn't really ever happened. That's as much my fault as any, but we have been working on that, and I appreciate the work that's been done there. But one of the projects in there that we talked about was putting some of the history in our City Hall Park here, come up with an object, and we've talked about different things, maybe one of the old Bamberger passenger cars, or and if we that's out of the budget, which it probably is, we could even put something like one of their old hopper cars, or their little car, I'm trying to think what we used to call them, just something smaller. But I don't have anything specifically in mind, and there might be other things, but just have some kind of object to represent the history of the city so that people have.
What about a mural, a painted mural?
Yeah, could do that if we had a place to paint it. I'm not sure.
But that, building.
Yeah, you could do that. We did talk about, and we haven't ever done it, maybe that's as much my fault as anything, is on the wall out there, because that is the Veterans Memorial Park of ours. A lot of cities have done a lot more that way, and we was thinking of putting plaques on the wall that would represent all the veterans, or at least the veterans that died. I don't know what, I mean, I know Battleful's got their Veterans Park now, that's pretty wonderful. And they've put all veterans on there, but I think we could do something to honor. I've seen some really fancy ones at some of the other city halls I've gone to. Something to think about. I don't have anything really specific in mind, but we've talked about that for a while and haven't done anything. Of course, I attended the Parks and Trails Committee, and we've kind of got a little subcommittee going there. We didn't meet in November. In December was kind of out, so hopefully we're... I brought this up before, so I won't spend a lot of time on it, but we're kind of getting way behind on our trails. We were way ahead a few years ago, and now that everybody is doing mountain bike riding, and we've got teams at Woods Cross High and the high schools, and, you know, and they love the trails we have, but when we went to our little party up there in Kaysville, we, you know, everybody's excited about these trails, and they're... And ours isn't standing up to the same level that some of the other ones are now. But at one point, Bountiful did nothing for trails, and we did everything, and we've just kind of let it slide a little bit. So I think we're going to want to look at that a little bit and make sure our trails are being maintained. And if we need to add some additional trails, which we know of the one that we've been working on for a while that we've talked about, is something that's kind of a priority for me. We also have the bottom of the Wild Rose Trail that ends in the parking lot over here. We talked about either putting steps in there or some kind of access, because the last 10 feet or so is just really steep. It's just supposed to be something that somebody could at least push a bike up, you know. So we kind of ended it in the rock, ended it really steep there, and it was anticipated at some point we'd put either steps or some sort of transition there, whether it be a little switchback in concrete or something. I think that was most of the ones I could think of off the top of my head. I think the ongoing ones that we've always talked about, I think, are out there. The wetlands in Foxboro, I think we're still moving forward on that. I think that's a priority there. So, you know. Some of the other ones, the dog park. I mean, we've got several things that we've kind of put on a list, but we haven't necessarily moved forward with them for different reasons. I did like some of your comments, Alicia, about, you know, what are some of the things we need to do to make our community better. And, you know, one of the things that I have had somebody bring up is the street lighting. You know, at one time, it was an easy answer to say, well, we've got a policy for street lighting, and we try to keep it consistent, and we try to, you know, make sure that people aren't getting more than their share of street lights and those kind of things. But now that we've got newer parts of the city and older parts of the city, I don't think it's very consistent anymore. I think there are some areas that are really lacking in street lighting. You know, the newer communities where we had the developers put them in, and they were sets of so many feet apart and stuff. And of course now we've got the new county area too that has almost zero street lighting, so something we need to at least discuss and put on a list and see what we want to do about street lighting, if we can add some lights that make sense. And it's kind of a hard thing to do because some people don't like street lights, and they could put one in front of their house and they get mad. So it's a little bit of a hard issue, but again, it's the consistency and the, you know, come up with a standard or something we're going to, you know, can live with for a few years. And even if it's just a matter of putting a few in every year, I think that might be something we ought to consider. I think that's my list.
Thank you, Stan. Any discussion on Stan's items?
Solid.
Solid. Okay. Lisa?
I've got a list here that I'm going to pare down, but I think I would like to see North Salt Lake having a position on the Great Salt Lake Advisory Group. I think it's in our town. It's right there on the edge of our city. We need to be at the table. I'd like to see the Wood Museum alleviated. And I really am determined to give more effort towards that. I see Tyler's here. It's nice to see you, Tyler. I'm sorry. The golf course is so beautiful, and I'm wondering if maybe I was reading a wonderful article in the Deseret magazine, which I like, and it was about water use in golf courses, but it was about Entrada and down south and how they utilized the trails for walking on the golf courses. And I'm wondering if maybe as a golf committee or as the city, we could look into a way that that might work without causing damage to the golf course, but also creating a recreational passage, you know, and it's people are very proud of that as our city gem. And so I'd like to know if we could maybe utilize it maybe certain hours of the day before people are on the course. It's dangerous, of course, so they can't be walking during play, but I'd like to explore that. I think one thing that you said, Elisa, about how committees work and so forth, I've learned a lot in the last 3-4 months with the seniors, and that is because it was quite organic, the way it the process grew. And it was it came from those who had a need, who presented the information, and then provided enough feedback so that it progressed to something to where it is now. And so sometimes it just is a living organism in a way. And if there isn't the energy or synergy that you need, it's like, you know, pulling hair to get things done. And so sometimes you just have to take that as a signal and say it's not its time right now. But that was just a suggestion. I know I traveled to Alaska a few summers ago, and there were tree plantings that were done that were dedicated for people. And so it might be cool working with TJ when we do our Audubon Day that we actually say, if you would like to buy a tree and you'd like to have a plaque, this is in memory of, or whatever, with the genus and whatever of the tree, it's really quite lovely. And it is a lasting memorial to someone. I'd like to look into that. I still think the entry to our city needs a lot of work. And I don't know if it's the cinder block sign that is a downer for me, but there's just, the logo is beautiful for a city, but we've got to do something about just that entryway. And I know we've talked about this, about if we got the new project over there, we would tree line the streets. And so there's some beautification, but that's 20 years vision, you know, but we've got to do a little better, even if it's on the short term with the entry sign to the city. And then one other thing is that I'd like to see a better use of the signs, the speeding signs in areas, though I haven't seen them for a while, where we're slowing down the traffic. Speeding to me is unacceptable in neighborhoods where you have children playing. It's just totally unacceptable to me. And on even the main thoroughfares, I live on Eaglewood, there's Eagle Ridge. Those are they are major corridors. And so I can see how those street level, those miles per hour should be higher than others. But I think we should be reducing speed in some of our heavily residenced areas, particularly in Foxborough, where you've got so many children. And then I would like one other thing, and it was something that you had mentioned a while back, Ted, and that was the idea that we develop closer cooperative relationships with sister city councils. So we do go to lunch. We make a point of, okay, I'm going to take somebody on the city council to lunch on my own dime. That's fine. But we need to be doing a little more outreach, because that is the joy of public service, is where you get to know other people who have similar loves of their community and have ideas. And that creates a lot of enthusiasm. That's all.
Good ideas.
Thank you.
Any specific comments, Lisa?
Well, I really love that, but I do think that we should have relationships with the city councils around us, and I think that would make it easier for us to look at like regional needs. So thank you for that one. Put a star by it.
Yeah, and we had a couple, two or three events this last year. And some of you weren't there. This last one was great, up to the Kaysville, where they invited us all. We went there and got to talk to everybody in the county.
Yes.
And there was quite a few there. You know, the Bountiful City Council, I think, was pretty well well represented. And then Ted had his bike ride that we had some pretty good representation there. Bountiful had all their council members and the mayor. And then it was some other cities as well that we don't normally deal with a lot. We haven't had a lot to do with Salt Lake for a long time. Years ago, I used to know several people there and the mayors and stuff. And I do see the mayors. I haven't seen the new mayor yet, but, you know, the Jordan River Commission gives me a chance to interact with Salt Lake City a little bit. They do send a representative, but I haven't seen the mayor yet. But in the past, I did. I mean, the mayors should usually come, especially when they were looking for something specific for the city. But anyway, so yeah, I agree. In fact, I offered that maybe this next spring or summer, I could have a river trip and invite all the councils.
Sounds fun.
You know, yeah, to come and do a little river trip. And if, you know, we can come up with lots of canoes now. The Jordan River Commission has a bunch, and we can rent some, and they're not very expensive. And we could all do the little river trip on the Jordan River. Anyway, thank you.
Ted?
Okay, thanks, Mayor. I want to thank, I think it was Elisa that helped make this work session happen. Thank you. Great idea. I'm going to identify four areas that matter to me, which have, there's been some themes around the other council members, so you'll hear a little bit of some similarity, but organized around four things. And I just want to note that by saying these four things, I'm not meaning to imply, I'm clearly not meaning to imply that we haven't actually been making progress on these things, because we have been. We have a staff that works really hard on these things. One, I'll name all four and then I'll drill down a little bit in all four. One, North Salt Lake is a city that is safe and fun to get around by all residents, young, old, and poor, and wealthy, everybody. One. Two, North Salt Lake is a city that has an inviting and vibrant downtown. Definitely been working on that. Three, North Salt Lake is environmentally sustainable. And four, North Salt Lake is a city with a vision. Probably should have started with that one. So I'll start with that one. We already have a game plan to update our general plan. The staff has been, they put forward an application to WFRC for that. I think that it's good for us as a council to leave more room for strategic conversations like this. I think we will benefit from having a new general plan for a bunch of reasons, but one of them is because it'll be new. And if we have a clear, broadly supported general plan, that can help us align and drive our actions. And I would like us to be a city that, we already do this, I'm not implying we don't, but I'd like us to be a city that implements our plans, or we change those plans so that we want to implement them. That's the city with a vision. City, North Salt Lake is a city that is safe and fun to get around by all residents. The Bonneville Shoreline Trail. A mountain bike plan, a plan for a system of mountain bike trails that is a great complement to what Bountiful City has. Let's implement at least one consistent with Natalie's suggestion of a protected bike lane, at least one high safety and high comfort bike facility that meaningfully connects destinations that people really want to get to. That might involve us working with Bountiful or Woods Cross.
Or Salt Lake.
Or Salt Lake.
Or UDOT.
Or UDOT. And you know, we have this great opportunity with the I-15 EIS, okay? That's that category. North Salt Lake is a city that has an inviting and vibrant downtown. We've been making a lot of progress on that. Two quick things. One, let's get our form-based code over the hump.
That was on my list, too.
Two, Highway 89. So we've been making a lot of progress on the private land and on Hatch Park, but Highway 89 is, I think, accurately described as a traffic sewer, and it doesn't lend itself to the creation of a high-quality downtown. It severely detracts from our goal of having a really welcoming downtown. There are opportunities to make a difference there. We have a much more willing UDOT. We have a staff that knows how to tackle this. I'd like us to prioritize that as a council. And then the last one, North Salt Lake is environmentally sustainable. Trees, the climate mitigation, the cooling, the beauty. I think it was Natalie, you mentioned trees. What is the status on our publicly owned land, and what are the tools that we can use to increase the amount of trees on private land? What about the automobiles that we own? Are there opportunities? When does it make sense, if at all, to look to shift that fleet, at least in part, towards electric? Parking codes, and the impact it has on sustainability is the last thing. So that's it, those four. Thanks.
Thank you, Ted. Any comments, follow up on Ted's comments?
Yeah.
Okay.
They used to call me the tree hugger. Now I think Ted's taken over for me.
I think anything with trees has to be Lisa first, and right. Then.
That's true.
I'll share that.
I just remember when they were putting the Kern River pipeline in, and I felt like strapping myself to a tree so they couldn't cut them down. I still have a piece of the bark when they chewed up the whole area that I didn't think they were going to, but they did.
Yeah.
That was something I wish we had a better attorney reading over our stuff, because at the time, the agreement we had with them that sounded like, well, you know, if we accidentally go outside of our limit, then we're not going to, you're not going to sue us.
Yeah.
And then it came down, they had designed to go outside by 100 feet.
Yep.
You know, and I thought, wait a minute, that's not right. But it was in the agreement that we wouldn't come after them if they went outside the 50-foot boundary they had set. Anyway, sorry.
How about you, Mayor? Do you have some suggestions?
You know, the one thing, and this is kind of a broken record with me, but I'd like to check something off.
Yeah.
I'd like to, and maybe it's the Foxborough Wetlands Park. Wouldn't it be nice to, at the end of the year, to say, that's done? Or just something. Let's, you know, and I know it takes planning, I know it takes time. I am concerned, cautiously concerned about a downturn in the economy. These things take money.
That's a great point.
I'm always amazed when I go to cities like St. George that just have money like crazy. They have beautiful trails, and I know they have hotel tax that we could only dream of. It's always a concern that we can finance these things as we go and pay for them. But I am
I spent some time today writing, you know, a state of the city address for the newsletter. And I'll turn it over to Ken and let him fix everything in it. But I'm optimistic about our future, and we just have a lot of things that are going really well. And one of the great blessings of being mayor is my interaction with the other mayors and other committees in Davis County. And we're just surrounded by good people doing good things in Davis County, and that's a great blessing. I feel really fortunate for the staff that we have. And from Ken on down, they just are running the city in a real efficient manner. So I'd just like to, you know, without getting pulled off in 10 different directions here, I'd like to zoom in on, you know, let's start Hatch Park. Let's get the wetlands done. And and then let's plant a few trees. And I think that's a great idea to have sponsors of that. I've been racking my brain after Elisa's comment, trying to remember what St. George did with art. They had a wonderful downtown art program, and I don't remember how they funded it, or was it sponsored? I know they rotated it. I can't remember now, but there's some great options like that.
Mayor, one of the things I'd like about what you said is, what did you say? Let's get one thing done or something like that. We're not a big city, right? So we can't do a crazy number of things. So invariably we have to prioritize. And I'd much rather knock the ball out of the ballpark on two or three things than do a whole bunch of things a little bit. And I'm not saying that that's actually a problem necessarily, but I think it's a great step, like we in our strategic thinking process, to figure out what we really want to hit first. And we kind of know, I mean, Hatch Park is number one. We're at least one in the top couple.
Yeah, I think the dog park is a real doable.
It's something people have asked for years,
yeah,
too.
Natalie's always wanted a pet cemetery, I know that.
Also, I think we've got the money for Foxborough Wetlands. And also, we're almost, when you said you want to check something off, the golf course remodel, man, that mm-hmm. clubhouse is great work.
Yeah.
From me and five others. Get it, like me and five others.
Well, we've got a couple of minutes. Let's take a quick break, and then we'll reconvene for City Council. Thank you, everyone, for your comments.